special guest with us today through the wonderful power of technology. We have with us our Board of Ordained Ministry, lovingly known as BOOM. They are with us today through the wonders of technology. Our board cannot be at every church for every person who is going through the process of ordination. And so they ask us as a church to send them a video of a service. And that's been taking place throughout the course of this day. And so I'm thankful for Brett for providing the video for that. And it's thankful. It's really is a team effort. I cannot do what I do without you. And together, we'll make it to June. And this will all be behind us. Amen? Amen. Amen. I invite you to come with me into Scripture this morning to the Gospel of Luke. And out of reverence for the Scripture, I'd ask you to stand with me in body or in spirit as we come to this parable of Jesus. Listen for God speaking to you through these ancient words today. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he had refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see to it that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will God keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see to it that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Join me in prayer. God, this is your time, and I pray that the words which I have written and prepared are your words. Wherever I am, may I decrease, and may you increase in this time today. It is yours, and we offer it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have this interesting parable presented to us today. And I have a question for you. Where is God in this parable? Does one of the characters in this story represent who God is? Where is God in this parable? Tradition and the world sometimes says that the judge is the one in this story who represents God. The church sometimes says that. The world sometimes says that. And let me show you how that looks. If I just pester God enough, then God will give to me what I ask. Or it may look like this. If I just say the right words in the right order, then God will give to me whatever it is that I ask. In fact, God will have to give me whatever I ask, because I said it the right way, and I pestered God enough. And so we turn 1 Thessalonians 5:17 into a challenge. Pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. We turn that into a personal challenge. I can pray without ceasing, and if I do, then God will honor my persistence. Prayer becomes a challenge rather than a joy. Now you may imagine I have a problem with comparing God with the judge in this story. A God who must be bothered and annoyed until God will give us God's children what we need, what we ask for? I don't believe that way, and I believe the Scripture doesn't describe God that way. Scripture describes God as one who delights in giving us good gifts, love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness. Those are gifts that God is pleased to give to us. And Jesus, in the parable, does not describe God like this judge. In fact, Jesus does quite the opposite. Jesus says, if this judge who is corrupt and unjust would do something good, think how much more God is willing to give to you, because God is just and righteous. This judge is capricious and cruel. Just bother this judge long enough and the judge will do what you ask him to do. But God is kind, not only to God's church, but to all who call upon God's name, even to enemies, even to those who would crucify Jesus. God shows mercy. Another reason why I don't believe that God is the judge in this parable is because it makes prayer all about us, all about what we do. Prayer is not about us. Prayer is about the one to whom we pray. And prayer is not about what we do, the words that we use. Prayer is not about beating ourselves up until God will give us what we ask. Prayer is an act of intimacy with one who loves you more deeply than any human love could possibly show you. Think of the person who you love most and who loves you most. And understand that God loves you more deeply and more intimately than that love that you have for a fellow human being can even scratch the surface. One who knows you better than you know yourself. One who knows the number of molecules that make up your body. That's the depth of God's love for you. Does that sound like someone who needs to be badgered and bothered to give us the good things that God has in store for us? One who enjoys our company and enjoys our prayers. Not one waiting for us to just say the magic words before he'll give us the good gifts. As I said yesterday, I went to visit my mother, and she is improving, but what she loves most of all is just my presence with her. When she was in the outside area in the patio when I saw her yesterday, and when I walked out there, you could see her face light up. You could see how glad she was to see me, and she did that without using any words at all. And that's the picture I have of when we go to God, of God just lighting up with happiness that we've come. We've come into God's presence. Thinking of God as the judge in this parable is really an act of idolatry. And it's an act of idolatry of our own selves, because it makes prayer all about us and what we do. If my prayer is just good enough, God must answer me. What that says is, if I am just good enough, God will answer me, and God will give me what I deserve. When in fact, the opposite is true. God loves us in spite of what we do. That's the message of the gospel. Good news for people who don't deserve it. Good news for people who have done nothing to earn God's gifts. But there's even a more destructive aspect of thinking of God as one who must be badgered and bothered until God will give us what we ask for. What if God doesn't answer your prayer? What does that say? If we see God as one who must be cajoled and bothered, or we must say the right words to get what God has for us, then if God does not answer the prayer the way that we think, then that is also all about us. And how destructive that is. Because that says that you did something wrong. You didn't pray hard enough. You didn't pray the right formula. Or maybe the most cruel of all, you just didn't have enough faith. See what that does? Makes prayer all about us. How destructive that is. It says, you just aren't good enough. And that's why God didn't answer your prayers. I can't imagine a more hurtful, destructive, cruel way of thinking about God. It's simply not true. I would go as far to say it's a blasphemous way of thinking about our God. That God must be one who has to hear the right words in just the right order. That we must be good enough. That's not the God who we encounter in Jesus Christ. The God who we encounter in the Scriptures. God is not like that school teacher in second grade who says, I would have done what you had asked if you had just said please. Can I use the bathroom? May I use the bathroom? God is not like that. God is pleased when we come to God with our prayers. Think of the cruelty of that way of thinking of God as one who must be bothered before God will answer our prayers. Your parent died from cancer because you didn't pray hard enough. People have said that. Your child is sick because you don't have enough faith. That turns prayer without ceasing from a blessing into a curse. And that's not God's way. Let me make it really personal. You know my son. You know that he has not said a single word. You know that he struggles to walk and he has to have support to do that. Now, when Kristen was pregnant, when we were expecting Ryan, we prayed that wonderful prayer, Lord, if he just has 10 fingers and 10 toes and is healthy, then that'll be all right with us. You know? Didn't ask for too much. We weren't asking God for the perfect child. We were just asking for a healthy child. Now, you know his situation. You know he's not entirely healthy. How easy it would be to turn that into feelings of guilt about ourselves. Did we not pray hard enough? Did we not offer God just the right prayer so that our son would be born happy and healthy, able to walk and speak? And because you know that I would give literally anything for him to be healthy. Chop off an arm, chop off a leg, anything. Take part of my brain, I'd do it in a heartbeat. And what a joy it is. Because I know in this building and within this very room right now are brothers and sisters of mine who would do the exact same thing. I know that about you. I know the love that you have for my son. You do that too. And I know you pray for him too. And you see the improvement, but there's a long way to go, isn't there? Are we just not praying hard enough? Are we just not using the right words Is God just waiting for us to say please? Blasphemy. Idolatry. To say those kind of things about our God. No, 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 no. Where is God in that parable? Where is God in our story? Where is God in Ryan's story? Because if God is like that judge, then that's no God at all. I don't believe that God is like that judge. I can't believe that God is like that judge. And I won't believe that God is like that judge. A God like that is unworthy of worship. A God like that is unworthy of our praise. And a God like that is unworthy of our prayers. God is not like that. And that is not who I have encountered in Jesus Christ. And I pray it's the same for you, that when you hear God described in those kind of terms, that you say, that is not the God who I have experienced in Jesus Christ and in Scripture, in my own life. Where is God in our story? Because in the story that we read today from Scripture, I believe that God is standing with the widow. I believe that God is praying with the widow. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. We have an advocate whose name is Jesus, who prays for us without ceasing. Jesus stands with the widow. One who knows you and loves you is praying with you and for you. God isn't concerned with our words. God is not waiting for us to say please. God wants our faith and nothing more. Our trust, letting go of our pride, surrendering our doubts and our fears. God is not calling us to pray harder, but to trust more deeply. No matter how bleak, how hopeless life may seem, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what pains you have in your body, what heartaches you have in your soul, even in the midst of death, we can have peace. Because God is not waiting for us to say just the right prayer. God is with us in the suffering. Jesus is with us, interceding for us, praying for us. And I hope you understand what I mean when I say praying for us. Jesus saying the words that we cannot say for ourselves. Praying the prayers when we have no prayers to offer. Ryan hasn't said a single word since the time he was born, 5 years old. And he is a far better preacher than I am. You'll learn more watching Ryan than you will from listening to me. Because he simply lives and is loved by God. And he is a far better prayer than I am. Because I mess it all up with words. And I make it all about me. He has somebody praying for him, whose name is Jesus Christ, who loves him more than I or Kristen could ever love him. And do you know, my brothers and sisters, that that same Jesus Christ loves you just as much? Who prays for you when you don't have the words to speak? The one whose sandals I am unfit to untie or to dust the dust off of his feet loves me, loves you, and is praying for each one of us. Even when we have no words, and all we have is trust and faith, Jesus is praying for us. May it be so. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.